This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Free Talk Live.
This is Free Talk Live. We're at Forkfest 2018. Beautiful Rogers Campground, kicking off our third hour of the first day of broadcasting here with you in our remote studio. It's Ian
and Daryl,
and of course you can join us in real life if you want to come on out to Rogers Campground. It is in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. You won't see a view like this anywhere else. It really is absolutely a really special place to be, and it's going to be full of great people. I think over the weekend we're going to likely see a big upturn, I think on Saturday, from the people that have been saying when they're going to show up. I think most people I've heard are showing up on Saturday,
Sunday. Sunday is Jay Noon's wedding.
That's true. Former co-host of Free Talk Live.
Fairly sizable crowd.
I imagine so for that. Yeah, for sure. And we're already seeing some former and current hosts of the show showing up. Mark Edge joining us here. TJ the Spy, who guest hosted with us last night. He's also on the campground. Random dogs running about, which, you know, hey, we'll see what Jazzy thinks about this. This is like a little, what is that thing, a miniature pincher?
Yeah.
Oh. take her off, leash.
No,
take her off her leash.
I think it's a greyhound.
Take her off her leash. Let her
go.
No.
No. We do not.
Jazzy can't catch that dog. Just take her off her leash.
No.
She's going to have fun. Take her off. If I were over there, I'd take her off the damn leash, but I'm not over on that side. Let her run after the little dog. She's not going to be able to catch it. She could use the exercise. Jazzy is the studio bee. She's 14 years old. She's a good dog. She's not going to hurt anybody else's dog. And Mark, your mic wasn't on, so now it is.
It's an Italian greyhound. They're small, and their bones tend to break.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Jazzy will be fine. That dog's going to run circles around.
That dog is literally running circles around Jazzy.
Quite literally.
Now, you're not supposed to let dogs off the leash, but we don't really care. It's Forkfest, so there are no rules. Of course, the campground does technically have rules, but as long as both dog owners consent, then I don't see what the problem is.
And it appears that the dogs are both consenting.
Yeah, they are just having themselves a good old
campgrounds
time.
Campgrounds tend to have lots of rules that they really don't abide by. They're just there in case something goes wrong.
In case something happens, yeah, for sure. And the fact is, you know, if your dog's off its leash and it encounters a dog that is going to snap at it or whatever, then, hey, you shouldn't let your dog off the leash.
Yeah.
So
the rule was there.
That's why the rule's there is, you know, to give people that protection. So we're here. It's Rogers Campground. We're seeing some friendly faces, some folks that we know already showing up here at the campground, which is great. And I think we're going to see a bigger Forkfest this year than we did last year. That's the way I believe this is going to work out. As we continue here, we were talking about some of these psychological studies that have there have been holes being poked in these studies, and Milgram is apparently one of them, one of the most famous. Of course, as you may recall, there were people who were asked to participate in this study. They were then put in a room where they were given controls over what they believed to be a device that would shock the other person who was part of the study. And the other person in the study was actually a Confederate. They were in on it. They were part of the study, and so when the shocks were being delivered to this other person, when they would mess up a memory test...
Right, they were given some kind of test, and if they gave a wrong answer, part of the punishment was to get a shock. So it wasn't just, all right, we need you to just shock this random person for absolutely no reason.
Well, right.
It made some sense that, that the idea of negative reinforcement. We need to do a study. Does negative reinforcement work to cause people to remember things? If they desperately want to remember things.
That was the claim on the study, but the actual study was studying the people who were doing the shocking to see exactly how far they would go with it. And they went very far with the shocks when told to by the study's authority, the man in a lab coat, told to continue the experiment. they mostly obediently continued yes. to shock this other person, even when they were screaming for mercy over the intercom.
Had a heart condition.
Yeah,
and,
in the
know,
other
sorts
room.
Of things. And at some point or another, the people just fell silent, you know, as though they had shocked the person to death.
So here's the critique from Peter Baker. This published in PS Mag, the Pacific Standard, psmag.com, back in 2013. We pulled this one up because it was cited in the Vox piece that was
yes.
very recent that we were just sharing in the last hour, in case you're just tuning in. In the headline here, Stanley Milgram's test subjects were not the only ones misled by his famous experiments on obedience. In October of 1963, the Journal of Abnormal and Social Psychology published an article blandly titled Behavioral Study of Obedience by a 30-year-old Yale professor named Stanley Milgram. The young author had never before published, or had never before been published, in an academic journal, and it was clear from his prose that he was hoping to make an early splash. He had conducted an experiment that he claimed shed light on one of humanity's basic features, our tendency to obey orders, even ones that conflict with our morals, so long as they are issued by an authority figure. By his fourth sentence, he was already referencing Nazi death camps and their daily quotas of corpses.
Godwin's law got invoked, so therefore he's got to be wrong.
Implying the Holocaust was something that his 9-page paper would help the world understand.
You know, this is something that I've noticed, Daryl. If you mention the Nazis, like, I don't know, you know, situations where people have been genocide and things like that. You know, whatever mention of the Nazis appears to, at that point, invalidate anything that you say. The simple fact that Godwin's law came into play doesn't mean that the argument was invalid. Godwin's law simply says, and I think it is specific to the Internet, but any discussion on the Internet...
The first person that mentions Hitler or the Nazi loses the argument.
That's not Godwin's law.
That's not Godwin's law? Which law is that?
Well, to look, you've got the Internet right there, right? Go ahead and look it up. Godwin's law says that any conversation, I believe it's on the Internet, that continues on long enough, Nazis will be brought up reaches one or something like that. It simply states that Nazis will be brought up.
I see.
Not that if you say Nazis, you're wrong.
Maybe that's Godwin's corollary or something like
it
that.
It might be something else. I have no idea,
basically,
but that's not Godwin's law.
Basically, it's the people that want to just throw out, well, you're wrong because you're wrong.
Yeah.
Almost 5 decades later, the Milgram experiments with their famous simulations of powerful electric shocks are among the most well-known studies of the 20th century. That much is definitely true. No introductory psych course or textbook can get away with skipping them. The experiments have inspired plays, a William Shatner movie, episodes of reality television, a storyline on Law and Order, special issues of academic journals, at least one novel, and 2 pop songs that I can find. The lyrics to Peter Gabriel's 1986 track, We Do What We're Told, Milgram's 37, neatly sums up Milgram's findings, at least as they have been absorbed by popular culture. Quote, we do what we're told, we do what we're told, we do what we're told, told to do. In the 1970s, Milgram suggested that his findings help explain American military atrocities in Vietnam. More recently, they found new life, a staple of debates about torture at Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo.
So, I feel that the, you know, the reporting on the Milgram experiment was valuable in that it gives people the opportunity to question what they're told.
I think you give people too much credit. I think you gave the example earlier as if you were brought into a room with a shock button and you were involved in an experiment, that you might figure out that you were involved in a Milgram-esque sort of experiment. But I think in any other circumstance, the average person is not going to think, oh, there was an experiment about this. It's not going to be in the consciousness.
Yeah, I don't know what the average... Well, that's what we're claiming here is that we just read... you just read the lyrics from a pop song where, you know, it is in the popular consciousness. And
but that doesn't mean that the fact that you know that the Milgram experiment exists will mean that you will not do what you're told. I mean,
right.
Look at the military.
And not just that, but how many times have we had people call into this show and say, well, you know, they got to do it because, you know, that's what they were instructed to do. They've got to follow their orders.
Yeah. We have had plenty. Certainly, there's what percentage of the people out there believe that, though? And I don't know the answer, and I believe it's getting smaller. Because
you have no evidence for that. That's just a belief.
It's just a belief.
It's a nice belief. I wish I could believe along with you on that.
So, for one,
I've
you asked
no
about
evidence.
The military. The fact is that what happened in Abu Ghraib and, you know, in Vietnam had to do with, among other things, the dehumanization of the enemy.
Which is common in wartime.
Something that has also been mentioned in that Vox article that we covered.
But I don't think that that was... I think they tried to control for that as best they could in the Milgram experiment.
Well, sure, it was clear that you were dealing with another human being in the other room. They didn't say, that's a dirty Jap in the other room.
Right.
Shock the, you know, the heck out of them. We're going to continue here with this discussion about Milgram and some critique around it. Your thoughts are certainly welcome if you want to join us here. You have to be here in person, actually, because we're at Rogers Campground. And this is ForkFest 2018. It's Free Talk Live, broadcasting from Rogers. We'll continue in moments.
And not to mention the shedding, I would vacuum the carpet 3 times a week. Frodo was scratching all night long, bouncing on the side of the bed, keeping me awake the whole entire night from all the scratching and chewing. It kind of makes you neurotic.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy?
Mounds and mounds of fur all over the place.
Come to Dinovite for help.
DINOVITE.com.
If you want the dog to be healthy, you got to feed it something healthy.
Dinovite is nutrition. The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
Our vitamins and enzymes replace the nutrients cooked out of most commercial dog foods.
He gobbles it up. He's not up all night scratching. His shedding is minimal, and it is such a pleasure to have my calm, relaxed, non-shedding puppy back. And I have to thank Dinovite for that.
Don't let your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy.
Come to Dinovite for help.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
What's more profitable, running your business or doing bookkeeping? Doing your business, of course, but you want to keep your books so that you can maximize your tax savings, right? What if I told you that there's a person that's a bookkeeper, accountant, and law school graduate that's also a hardcore libertarian?
My name is Melanie Johnson, and I hate the state. I will aggressively help you to minimize your tax exposure and maximize profits, all while staying within the law.
Melanie's your best choice for your taxes and bookkeeping needs. Go to tax.freetalklive.com and check out our website, tax.freetalklive.com.
Good technology is good, but the philosophy behind the tech is important. And Zencash was made by voluntarists with the ideas of voluntary interaction being embedded into the white paper. With no central authority or single point of failure, Zencash is more resilient than a traditional corporation. Everyone has an equal opportunity to participate in decision-making, which empowers stakeholders and makes Zencash less susceptible to third-party influence. And Zencash allows for secure private transactions. Learn more at Zencash.com.
Get the ultimate knife at an ultimate price. The Fox Karambit Knife. Finally available in the U.S. The Fox Karambit Knife opens with one hand, faster than you can pull a handgun. For utility, for defense, and for way less than other knives of this caliber. Go to TheUltimateKnife.com. Truly the best knife you will ever own. And only available at TheUltimateKnife.com. Use promo code radio at checkout for free shipping. Get the ultimate knife at the ultimate price at TheUltimateKnife.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Healthcare reform is confusing, but whether it's finding an affordable insurance plan, keeping your doctor, or being able to afford needed prescriptions, navigating the healthcare system has become a challenge. Control your own healthcare costs and choices with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of each other's medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. It's ForkFest 2018, the second year of this libertarian, liberty-oriented, voluntarist, decentralized camping event, meaning that there's nobody in charge, which means that everybody is in charge of their own experience. So if you just want to come camp and hang out with other liberty-minded folks, you can do that easily here at Rogers Campground, which is where we're located. We're going to be doing the next several days of Free Talk Live from here at this campground at our remote broadcast studio, which is basically a picnic table and a tent and some very minimalist equipment that we have here. But it actually works out pretty well. And Mark is manning the mosquito zappers, which just make everything so much more fun here at Rogers Campground. You know, you gotta love the fun and excitement of zapping. You got him. He's trapped in there too.
He's better than hell.
Yeah, so very satisfying. They are always labeled not a toy, but I swear these are the funnest toy that you could possibly purchase.
Don't stick your tongue to it.
Yeah, probably not a good plan.
That's good advice.
That's one I've never tried.
Bad idea. I've
squeezed it while pressing down the button, and it gives a nice little shock.
Yes, to your fingers. Yeah,
yes.
I bet we could get TJ to stick his tongue on it.
Any man that would have a haircut like that, I wouldn't doubt it.
I'm fairly certain several people have said that to TJ before.
You're referring to he now has a mohawk haircut, which should feel familiar to you, Mark. You used to have that
something.
Haircut.
Never quite that, but
no?
Yeah,
no?
Close enough. Yeah.
All right. So we're talking about the Milgram
study. And
that was
like high school, you know.
So we've been talking about the Milgram study and some critique of it. This is according to a piece written back in 2013 by Peter C. Baker, published at the Pacific Standard, psmag.com, talking about how, you know, Milgram is one of the most recognizable studies.
And this is one of the things that was cited by that Medium article that was cited by Vox.
Correct.
That we
the Vox article that we
last hour.
Yeah, that we've been covering today. And, you know, just talking about Milgram and how important it was and how, you know, cited it tends to be. And it says here that, you know, the findings have found new life in staples of debates about torture at Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo and business school ethics courses. The experiments are cited to warn budding middle managers about the perils of blindly following orders from up the food chain. To a remarkable degree, Milgram's early research has come to serve as a kind of all-purpose lighting for discussions about the human heart of darkness.
You know, it's difficult when you're just, like, you know, middle management, for instance. You're part of a decision-making group. Mm-hmm. Middle managers do matter. They don't matter a lot, but they matter some. And, you know, the difficulty that it is to change people's thoughts. So if you're in a group of four people and you're the only one that thinks a particular thing, you're going to have a very difficult time. My wife is dealing with a situation right now where you know, her father and mother are trying to sell their house. They got an offer that was 12.5% below their asking price, and they feel insulted. This is too low. I can't believe that our real estate agent would bring us this offer. Somehow or another, they called her brother and got him on board. So now you've got three out of the four people believing that this is an insult and that a woman should put her real estate license in jeopardy by not bringing an offer that is insulting to, you know, I don't know. I don't even understand the point of view that an offer that is 12.5% below asking price is somehow an insult. I mean, if it was a $200,000 house and somebody offered $175,000, is that insulting?
I don't think so.
Right. I don't think so either.
I mean,
I don't think that anywhere that's insulting.
50%, yeah, yes, that would be insulting.
But then there are some people that, you know, they just think that things are worth a lot more than what they actually are, and anything left, whether it be, all right, this $200,000,
yeah, these people are irrational.
Somebody says, I will give you $199,999.99. That's an insult.
No, right.
I said $200,000.
Right, and that person is the kind of person you walk away from. Right, whenever you're dealing with somebody who does something like that, walk away from them because as best you can. Sometimes you have to deal with nuts, but don't reward irrational behavior is what I say. And, you know, if I was these people, at this point, nothing's been communicated beyond the family, but I think it's outrageous.
So, just how much does Milgram's work really illuminate? In 2004, Gina Perry, an Australian journalist and psychologist, was conducting research for an article on Milgram when she learned about a Yale archive containing hundreds of audio tapes documenting his obedience research. Intrigued, she flew to New Haven and started listening to the tapes. Over time, she became more interested in Milgram's subjects and what they revealed about his experiments than in the scientist himself. Between 1961 and 62, almost 1,000 people showed up at Milgram's lab for different variations on the shock machine experiments. Afterwards, some were shaken, convinced that Milgram had unveiled a sinister weakness lurking within them. Others resumed their lives as if nothing had happened. In her new book, Behind the Shock Machine, Perry describes how, over the course of 4 years, she tracked down several of Milgram's still-living participants, his participants' relatives and collaborators and assistants, and even their relatives. The more conversations she had, and the more time she spent in the Yale archives, the more she came to believe that Milgram's subjects had been doubly misled, first by the experimental conditions in the lab, and second by the notion that Milgram had proven anything at all. In 2011, filmmaker Eli Roth, best known for the mainstream torture porn hit Hostel, recreated a version of the Milgram experiments for a Discovery Channel special called How Evil Are You? The last year or the year prior, a major French television channel broadcast The Game of Death, which combined an approximation of Milgram's methods with the trappings of a game show, including a studio audience that egged participants on with cries for punishment. In 2009, the journal American Psychologist ran an article by Jerry Berger, a psychologist who claimed to have reproduced Milgram's results. As it happened, Berger had been put up to his act of scientific replication by ABC News, which funded his research and aired footage of his experiments during The Science of Evil, a 2007 episode of its Basic Instinct series pegged to the atrocities at Abu Ghraib.
So because ABC funded an experiment, therefore all of the experiments similar to that experiment are invalid? I'm not sure I understand their argument.
I'm not sure why they're bringing these up either. I think
they're trying to show that if mainstream media is excited in something, it's clearly and obviously corrupt. This is, you know, an associative tactic to discredit the Milgram experiment and stupid, as far as I'm concerned. You know, there's all these articles suck, you know.
Well, we're going to get deeper into it here. The perennial fascination, because I want to see what the supposed evidence is. The perennial fascination with Milgram's findings, underlined by these mass-market recreations engineered for maximum entertainment value, has a way of obscuring what actually took place in Milgram's lab. In the original setup described in his 1963 paper, participants would arrive at his basement laboratory thinking they'd signed up for a study of memory and learning. One participant, called the teacher, watched as the experimenter strapped another participant, the learner, into a restraining chair and attached an electrode to his wrist. The teacher was then led to an adjacent room. On the experimenter's instructions, he used an intercom to guide the learner through a simple memorization task. The teacher was instructed to punish every mistake the learner made by pressing a button that delivered an electric shock, each shock stronger than the one before. And I'm glad they're doing a, you know, explanation of exactly what this experiment was.
Right.
The learner was actually an actor in league with Milgram, a confederate, as you would call it, and the shock machine was a fake. But Milgram's subjects were told no such thing. 65% followed their instructions to the very end, administering shocks to the learner again and again until they had reached 450 volts, the supposed highest level available. We'll tell you more about the Milgram experiments and some of the critique coming up here on Free Talk Live.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original, most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
You USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
The Justice Department releasing a report on the FBI and the Department of Justice's Hillary Clinton investigation. Both Republicans and Democrats taking some issue with the findings. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders saying
the president was briefed on the IG report earlier today, and it reaffirmed the president's suspicions about Comey's conduct and the political bias among some of the members of the FBI.
While FBI Director Christopher Wray saying they didn't find any evidence of political bias, but said he was disappointed with some of the findings. Officials in Germany believe they've thwarted a biological weapon attack. Police arresting a Tunisian man that they believe was working to make ricin. He hasn't been linked to any specific group, and they're not sure who he's targeting. The Justice Department allowing the $85 billion buyout of Time Warner by AT&T. A federal judge saying Tuesday that the deal wasn't legal. The government trying to stop it from happening over price concerns. This is USA Radio News.
Money! 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 Money. You gotta have it. When you need it, what do you do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. That's 800-634-1315. NMLS number 1136.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. You can join us not on the radio tonight unless you're here in person, because we're going to be broadcasting from Rogers Campground at ForkFest 2018 over the next several days. If you are here in person, then you're welcome to come over and hang out at our broadcast tent, which is at RV Site 45 in this beautiful location, which is just an absolutely incredible view of the White Mountains of New Hampshire. And today on this particular day, it's a little overcast, but that doesn't make it any less pretty here at Rogers. In the studio with you, it's Ian.
And Daryl.
And Mark. We're talking about the Milgram experiments, and I do want to make sure you know that Free Talk Live is brought to you by Liberty.menu, a great website where libertarians and voluntarist types can head on over to list their business and have it seen by other libertarians. So if you're ready to come out of the closet and to have people know that you're a libertarian, then this would be the place to list your business and possibly get some new business, some money that might have been on the table that you didn't know was there, because now people know about you. So go to Liberty.menu. It's free to use the site. It's super easy to do. Really slick, nice-looking site, easy to do. Go to liberty.menu, and I'm sure we'll be talking with Patrick, the founder of that, at some point this weekend.
Yeah, and I actually need to ask him a question, because I got emails earlier today saying that I need to renew several listings.
Yeah.
And I didn't see a renew button when I clicked on the thing, so I need to find out where that is. But it is good that they have people renew the listing.
That's smart.
That way you don't have a bunch of outdated
stuff.
Thing went out of business 15 years ago.
That's one of the worst parts about these sites out there, where like CoinMap, for instance.
Yeah.
Great site.
Like Google. I just went to a restaurant yesterday that was listed on Google and closed.
It's too bad. All right, so we're talking about the Stanley Milgram's experiments here. PSMag.com has some critique of the experiments. They're talking about a journalist who you say you're not related to, named Perry, Gina Perry, who is an Australian psychology journalist who did a lot of research into Milgram's experiments. She actually listened to many audio recordings from the original experiments in the 1960s.
Allegedly.
Again, where they were ostensibly the experiments...
You just randomly throw the word allegedly in.
...subjects were ostensibly shocking the other people in the study up to the maximum level when encouraged or ordered to do so by the purported authority, the man in the lab coat. They kept going after the learner, so there was the teacher and the learner. The person being studied was the teacher, but they didn't realize that they were being studied in the same way. Anyway, they kept going after the learner, pounded on the wall as if in protest, and even after he stopped responding altogether as though unconscious. In one variation, the learner screamed for mercy and complained of a weak heart before falling silent at the end. Milgram's experiments quickly touched off a debate over the ethics of his method. While deception in experiments was a mainstay of psychological research up through the 1960s, most deception-based studies didn't end up on the front page of the New York Times. And none had involved tricking people into thinking they'd harmed, maybe even killed, a fellow human.
I think it's important to note here that Free Talk Live has talked about the Milgram experiment for well over a decade.
Yeah.
And that we're... reading this because we have questions, right? Because we enjoy questioning our own conclusions, and that's what I'm told smart people do. So, you know, I want to know whether I've been
wrong. I want to know what the critique is.
Yeah.
Going on here. So, Milgram noted that his experiments all ended with a de-hoaxing session, but this wasn't sufficient for his critics. In 1973, the American Psychological Association passed new research guidelines, effectively banning the type of deception on which his obedience work had relied. This did not, however, stop Obedience to Authority, which was his book in 1974 about the experiments, from becoming a bestseller, nor did it stop universities from inviting him to speak, students from reading his papers, and journalists from representing his conclusions in the most sensational terms possible. The controversy over the ethics of Milgram's methods became part of his experiment's mythology, a story of ruthless means yielding profound scientific ends.
So it sounds to me like the author here is saying it's invalid because ethical guidelines were changed after he did his experiment.
Yeah.
Well, in the Yale archives, Perry, the journalist, discovered that even the debate over Milgram's procedure had been premised on false information. There had been dehoaxing sessions, yes, but only in a narrow sense of the word. When we hear about dehoaxing, Perry argues, we reasonably assume this means the participants were told the shocks weren't real, that the learner's screams had been pre-recorded, and so on. But this wasn't the case. Milgram's debriefing sessions were used primarily to calm down agitated participants. There were many. 3/4 of subjects left the lab without being debriefed at all.
That's awful.
Many went home confused or upset. Over 50 years later, some are still unnerved. A significant portion learned the truth only in letters they received months afterward.
Well, this is really terrible that people that were willing to shock somebody to death are upset about it. God, I mean, I am so deeply upset about the notion that somebody who acted like a Nazi prison guard was somehow, you know, upset about the action.
Others appear never to have been told at all. If all Milgram...
That doesn't invalidate his experiment.
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. In fact, let me turn you down. You're just getting a little bit loud there, buddy. Significant portion learned the truth. Okay, so if all Milgram had done was fudge his account of the dehoaxing process, his findings could be completely valid. But Perry also caught Milgram cooking his data. In his articles,
that's important.
Milgram stressed the uniformity of his procedures, hoping to appear as scientific as possible. By his account, each time a subject protested or expressed doubt about continuing, the experimenter would employ a set series of 4 counterprompts.
Right.
If, after the 4th prompt, quote, "You have no other choice, teacher. You must go on," unquote. The subject still refused to continue. The experiment would be called to a halt, and the subject counted as disobedient. But on the audio tapes in the Yale archives, Perry heard Milgram's experimenter improvising, roaming further and further off script, coaxing, or, depending on your point of view, coercing participants into continuing.
But that was the point of the experiment, to see if people could be coerced into doing what the blue hell they were told.
Well, and again, it's not clear what they mean by coerce here, but if they are
probably aren't using the libertarian definition of coerce, which means physical force.
If they are going off script, that is something worth quibbling, right?
Indeed.
They're supposed to say something very specific, and if they're improvising, that breaks the study.
It right? doesn't break the study. It changes the
parameters. It could invalidate the results.
I don't know that it invalidates the results.
It could, I said.
Are there words that you can string together to get somebody to push a button to kill people?
Yes. Inconsistency in the standards meant that the line between obedience and disobedience was shifting from subject to subject and from variation to variation.
Agreed.
And that the famous 65% compliance rate had less to do with human nature than with arbitrary semantic distinctions. The wrinkles in Milgram's research...
What he says is that, you know, that some people can be coerced into shocking somebody, and depending on the words that they are told.
So I could guarantee that if this experiment were replicated today and you had some guy wearing a shiny badge that said, I'm going to have to ask you to push that button, a vast majority of people would push the button.
I think
it doesn't
you're right.
matter if you say the experiment requires you to push the button. Whatever word yeah. you want to use here, the fact that people were complying with what they thought was giving a lethal voltage, that is horrible.
Yeah, I don't care if the number is 66% or 33%. The fact that a third of people yeah. would shock somebody
disturbing.
To death if given, you know, if coaxed, if, you know, into it, verbally coerced into it.
Gradually, there's a little bit more here. The wrinkles in Milgram's research kept revealing themselves, perhaps most damningly. After Perry tracked down one of Milgram's research analysts, she found reason to believe that most of his subjects had actually seen through the deception. They knew, in other words, that they were taking part in a low-stakes charade.
So they That's were just important. Doing what they thought that the experimenter what it again, it doesn't matter why they were doing what they did it.
Even if they did not even if they thought that it wasn't actually hurting another person.
Right.
Right. Well, yeah, that's really important.
Because at some
you
point...
You would push a button that says, I'm willing to kill somebody if given orders? Who would push that button?
Even though it's not actually killing
somebody. That's even more of a reason not to push the button.
You've seen the movie Ender's Game?
I've not. No.
Watch, I read the book.
Watch the movie. I've never read the book. And the
Bring up whatever you're going to hear in a moment here. We'll continue. We're at... we'll talk about Ender's Game and the remainder of this critique of the Milgram study in moments here. We're at ForkFest 2018, and this is Free Talk Live.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help. Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite. Pick up 2 bottles of LicoChops, get the 3rd bottle free. New improved LicoChops with omega-6, omega-3, vitamin E, and now 6 extra direct-fed microbials. Even better for the digestive tract and immune system. And dogs love it. Try LicoChops. Buy 2, get 1 free. This is Henry Lukasevic for Dynavite.
DINOVITE.com.
Cryptocurrencies are successful because of good technology. The liberty-loving voluntarists who founded Zencash in 2017 took the best tech, like zero-knowledge anonymity and decentralized autonomous organizations, and are creating a secure platform for money, messages, and media that can be sent to anyone, anywhere in the world. Zencash is a cryptocurrency dedicated to peace, anonymity, and decentralization. Find out more at Zencash.com. That's Zencash.com.
If you or anyone you love has been diagnosed with lung cancer, asbestosis, or mesothelioma, your diagnosis may be the result of job-related exposure to asbestos, and you may be entitled to compensation. Over $30 billion in trusts have been set aside for individuals who have been affected by asbestos exposure. How do you protect your rights and get the compensation you deserve? Call Capital Legal Group now at 800-400-LUNG. Capital Legal Group is one of the nation's resources for settlement of lung cancer and mesothelioma cases. Law firms have successfully recovered over $2.7 billion $1 million for their clients in all 50 states, and claims have been paid in as little as 60 days. If you or a family member were diagnosed with lung cancer, asbestosis, or mesothelioma, call Capital Legal Group now at 800-400-LUNG. We'll open a no-cost case review on your behalf. A history of tobacco use or cigarette smoking will not disqualify your case. Visit 800-400-LUNG.com or call 800-400-LUNG. Call 800-400-5864 now. That's 800-400-LUNG.
We call it the crapper, water closet, outhouse, or bathroom. But where do you go when there's nowhere to go? The answer is the Biffy Bag. The Biffy Bag is a pocket-sized disposable toilet that fits in your glove box, tackle box, toolbox, backpack, or purse. The Biffy Bag has everything you need for a sanitary and comfortable relief experience. It's ready to use in just seconds, and just toss it in the trash when you're done. It's your Biffy in a jiffy. BiffyBag.com. BiffyBag.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live, and we're at ForkFest 2018. Definitely not too late if you're planning on being in New England. Drive on up to Lancaster in New Hampshire. It's the northern part of the state, and we're right nestled within the White Mountains here at Rogers Campground. Splendid location.
Excellent view.
Great people, as always. We're seeing some friendly, familiar faces already showing up here, getting their campgrounds set up. There's already at least one vendor that's popping up a tent, and we'll see how things develop throughout the weekend. We're going to be here every single day broadcasting from our remote studio, and would love to see you stop by. And, of course, we're going to have bumper stickers and, you know, the usual whatnot to give away here as well. Looking forward to Free Talk Live sponsoring the upcoming Alt Expo tent, which should be setting up sometime tomorrow.
That's right.
As I understand it, so that should be
Are you giving away a Aleppo?
What's Aleppo? So anyway, Daryl, you were going to tell us about Ender's Game in relation to the Stanley Milgram experiments, which we're reading a critique of Milgram here.
Right. So the claim by the author of this piece is, well, the Milgram experiment should be invalidated because some of the participants realized that they were in a simulation. And I don't think that that's a reason to invalidate, because they still complied. And the point of the experiment was to see if people complied.
With authority. Perceived authority.
Ender's Game, and the movie has been out for many years, so I don't feel like I need to say spoilers. But spoiler, the main character is being told he's going through these series of simulations.
For training.
For training. Turns out, they're not simulations, and he destroys an entire planet and an entire species of, you know, some creature.
Bad guys that were at war with them.
Yeah, the bad guys. We got to kill the enemy. And he thinks, again, he's told this is all training simulation. You finish this, and then you wind up graduating, and blah, da, 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 da. And as soon as it's over, He's like, all right, stop the simulation. Stop the simulation. And he sees this destroyed planet, and that's when he realizes it, and he has a conscience.
Whoa. Cool story, man. I've heard of the thing, but I never actually knew anything about it. Was that a newer movie?
The book's
old.
But it's not a newer movie.
The book's got to
be 30 years old.
What, like the 80s? The movie, I think the movie's been out for about a decade.
Okay. So,
and
newer. Yeah.
Yeah. But still, if you get a chance to watch it, watch the movie.
Hey, so to be clear, I was on the side of the colonel or whoever it was that was giving him the orders on this. It's like sometimes you got to use what's at hand, and this guy had a very special brain, and they needed him to do what they needed to do,
but
they needed to win.
But heading into what he thinks is the simulation battle, the supposed enemy, they're not in any kind of way attacking. They're you know, like, we want diplomacy.
Mm.
But no, you have to destroy them because they are enemy.
I gotcha. It's been a long time.
So let me finish up this critique of the Milgram experiment. You guys have
when
had
I
some
saw
great...
A Few Good Men, I was on Jack Nicholson's side too. So.
You can't handle the truth.
Right. Well, there are walls in this world, and if you have walls, you need men to guard them.
So let's see here. They knew that. So the claim here is some of the people in the Milgram research knew they were taking part in a low-stakes charade. Gradually, Perry, who's the journalist who is investigating this, came to doubt the experiments at a fundamental level. Even if Milgram's data was solid, it's unclear what, if anything, they prove about obedience. Even if 65% of Milgram subjects did go to the highest shock voltage, why did 35% refuse? Well, maybe because they have a conscience and they did not want to hurt a fellow human being. And perhaps they could empathize with the pain of the other person in the other room.
One of the things that the detractors of Milgram here point out, that when you start digging down to what their complaint is, that you take responsibility from Nazi guards. Is that because humans will do what they're told, Nazi guards will do what they're told because they're human. Therefore, if humans act like humans, they are the Nazi guards are not special, and they are not evil because they are simply human. So it is important that we discredit any research that says that Nazi guards are anything but evil. That's one of the complaints here, and you'll find you'll find lots of people, especially people that are very concerned with concentration, the Jewish concentration camps and all that stuff. The death
camps. But Nuremberg principle says that if you have the ability to say no and you're just following orders, that's not an excuse.
Yes, but this detracts from that.
I think they're asking some interesting questions, which deserve a whole lot more discussion here than what we might be able to do in 5 minutes. But here's their next question. Why might a person obey one order but not another?
Verbiage, tone of voice, their mood, health concerns, a whole variety of things would cost them.
Because they had agreed to initially, and then they realized that they didn't...
People love this. That, this is one of the things. You agreed to something you weren't entirely clear on beforehand, and now you must do it. I think about the sergeants in boot camp are constantly bringing up one's contract when you're in the military.
Right, so that there's this thing called informed consent.
Yeah.
Meaning that you have all of the information that is needed, and if you don't have all of the information, that's not... informed consent.
And part of you can never really have informed consent, right? Like, if you ever sign a contract about what's going to occur in the future, how can you be sure that a person's going to do what they're going to do if you're always looking for this informed consent
thing? But that there are circumstances where you can have more information than if somebody just withholds all kinds of details. Hey, Mark, I've got a car to sell you.
Yeah.
Do you want to buy it for a dollar?
Yeah, sounds like a great thing. It happens to have a body in the trunk.
Nope. It's a little Hot Wheel car.
Okay, there you go.
We're speaking two completely different things.
Sure.
We came to an agreement, but it wasn't what you envisioned.
Right.
Why might a person... how do people in institutions come to exercise authority in the first place? Well, that's a big question, isn't it? I mean, what is authority? It's just an idea. It's just an idea that some people...
Well, how do people not in institutions come to have authority?
The idea of authority is just an idea that people believe in for whatever reason.
Authority comes from ownership.
When somebody's got a lab coat or a shiny badge on.
No, those are trappings of authority,
believe.
Not authority. Authority
there
comes...
is no such thing as authority.
Sure,
it's just an idea.
I have authority over my car. Authority is about control.
Authority is an idea between humans, not over a car, right?
It's all about property. That's what it comes down to, is the people who are in the institution, the doctors. The doctors are high on the totem pole of ownership as far as control and these sorts of things.
It's so, about control. It's about position. And certainly you could argue that control over property is an aspect of it. But authority is a belief system. Authority is a belief system that people have been inculcated with.
Well, you're talking about cops now.
I'm talking about cops and men, you know, the men with the lab coats.
The men with the lab coats are simply the minions of that person who is finally in authority.
But it doesn't matter. If a guy in a lab coat was walking around this campground giving people medical advice, some people are going to buy it. You know, just because he's got
trappings of authority.
He's got a stethoscope on.
Right.
You know?
Because some people don't question the trappings of authority.
Right. And so
it's different than authority itself, though. Authority is different than the trappings of authority. Somebody in what's the common one? The reflective blazer with the clipboard. Right. That person can do anything. They've got a reflective blazer and a clipboard, so they can go and do anything. That's not authority. It's the trappings of authority.
And if you've got a two-way radio on your hip,
that is helpful.
You can generally do pretty much anything.
I'm not saying that the trappings are the authority. I'm just saying that that's what people respond to because they've been programmed to believe in this idea of authority.
They're programmed authority because the United States government is controlled by a few, owned by a few. And its minions and the trickle-down hierarchy will tell you what to do. It is best to teach your kids to obey authority because then those kids are less likely to be shot and killed or treated poorly or end up with lower earning potential.
And sometimes even when they do everything that the supposed authority says, they still wound up killed.
You're going to break a few eggs, brother.
Perhaps most importantly, how are we to conceptualize the relationship between, for example, a Yale laboratory and a Nazi death camp? Or in the case of Vietnam, between a one-hour experiment and a multi-year, multifaceted war. On these questions, the Milgram experiments, however suggestive they may appear at first blush, are absolutely useless. It's likely that no one understood this better than Milgram himself. In his notes and letters, Perry found ample evidence that privately, even he had significant doubts about his work. He'd also dreamed of and even dabbled in other careers, filmmaker, writer of literary fiction, that indulged his taste for creative spectacles. Despite his reservations, he was a canny marketer of his own findings, well aware of how to package science in a way that would set tongues wagging. While Milgram was conducting his experiments, the American news media was fixated on the trial of the Nazi logistician Adolf Eichmann, then underway in Jerusalem. Ahead of the release of Obedience to Authority, Milgram himself drafted potential taglines for the book cover, including, quote, "Is your neighbor a potential Eichmann? Where's Adolf Eichmann? Check your mirror, friend." So, interesting discussion here, and we're going to, we can certainly continue it on in tomorrow's episode here from Rogers Campground at ForkFest. Although, who knows who we're going to be interviewing? We'll see who shows up here at our broadcast tent on Rogers Campground. This is day number one of the 5 days of ForkFest 2018, and we'll continue. You can join us here in real life. Go to ForkFest.party to learn more about the event. See you tomorrow.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill. I had high blood pressure, diabetes, poor vision. I wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract from within a few days. I started sleeping better. My blood pressure normalized. My diabetes normalized. My sleep improved.
Experience these benefits and more when your body heals itself with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my Sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.